Come fly with Global Air Force.
And as a natural response, I just kind of looked up above, and I saw the area filled with angels. Some were dancing, they were singing, they were playing instruments. It was the most amazing sight I had ever seen in my life. And I thought, what in the world is going on? Am I just imagining this? Is this real?
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day. I thank you for tuning in to Global Radio today. Today, our guest, Gary Oates, has had a dramatic encounter with God that changed his life and ministry forever. He was caught up into the presence of the Lord to see the ministry of angels. Today we are going to look at a book that he's written, Open My Eyes, Lord. And this book is a practical guide to angelic visitations and heavenly experiences. Heidi Baker, she writes in Gary's book, "I could not put down this amazing book. I laughed and I cried as the Holy Spirit touched me through these anointed stories." If you want a deeper life into the Holy Spirit, this book is for you. The stories of angelic encounters will have you hungry for more for your own. You will be blessed. So, here is our guest today, Gary Oates.
Hi, Jim. It's great to be with you today.
Oh, it's great to have you. I was looking at your book as a focus point, but I'm also open for as the Lord leads you today. And could you start telling your story? Because many of these people do not know you.
Sure. I pastored for 30 years, planted 5 churches over that period of time. And when I was about 8 years old, I had a vision of preaching to thousands of people. I didn't believe that that was possible for me because I saw myself as an introvert. I didn't make good grades in school. My personality was not real outgoing. So I thought, you know, I'm just making that up, but it kept reoccurring. And sure enough, over a period of years, God began to bring the reality of that vision to me as I began to fall into His plan for my life. And it was an amazing, amazing journey. After the 4th church plant, I came to a place of total burnout. I was ready to quit. I felt like I was going through the motions on the inside. I was dry. I was dead. But outwardly, you know, I put on the face, I put on the front, and I acted like everything was okay. And the church was growing, and good things were happening in the church. But I really felt a need to withdraw from the ministry for a season. So I decided to take a 6-month sabbatical, which lasted for 3.5 years.
Oh, my.
And during that time, though, I mean, it was like the devil just came to me. He told me I'd never been called to the ministry, that I had been wasting the best years of my life. And I honestly, I believed it. I came to the place where I was mad at God. I didn't want to read the Bible. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to go to church. The only reason we went to church was for our children. We felt like, you know, they need to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very, very difficult season for me. Actually, I became a stockbroker during that time.
Mm.
And I began to make a lot of money. But I was not finding inner peace and satisfaction even in that. One day I was reading the Wall Street Journal, which became my new Bible, and the subtitle of one of the articles said, "The time to change is before you have to." And those words jumped off the page at me. And I was thinking about that. You know, too often we wait until we've gone too far, and it's very difficult to bring about the necessary changes in our lives. So I had to ask myself, did I want to be a stockbroker the rest of my life? Well, the answer was no, I really didn't, even though I was highly successful at it. Did I want to go back into the ministry? That was a loud no. I wanted to stay as far away from it as I could. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I acted on that, and I resigned. And for the next 6 months, I began to seek God again. All of a sudden, it was just like a little flicker turned into a flame again.
Mm.
And God began to speak. I had a desire to read the Bible, to pray again. And God spoke to me during that season of going back into full-time ministry and planting our fifth church. And I decided at the time, you know, it can't be the same as those in the past, because I knew how to manipulate, how to control people. I knew what to do to make myself look good and to keep myself up on a pedestal and to try to keep everybody else below me, spiritually speaking. Well, that, of course, obviously that was all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I determined that this time it had to be totally different. So when we started out, we moved to Tallahassee, Florida, and planted a church there. And we started on a totally different foundation, because I wanted the Holy Spirit to be in charge. I wanted to you know, one of the most difficult things as pastoring is to stay out of God's way. And I learned through many years of taking control myself and not letting God do what he wanted to do. So this time it was going to be different, and so we did. And it was while we were in Tallahassee that God began to stir my heart for missions. For first time I went to Brazil with Randy Clark was in 2000. I went again in 2001. In 2002, I couldn't wait to go back because I was seeing God just do incredible miracles, things that I had only read about others experiencing. Well, I was tired of telling other people's stories. I wanted my own story. I wanted my own experiences. And so I went to find out if it was real. And yes, it was. But before this third trip, just a couple of months beforehand, I was in June of 2002, several people started leaving the church. They were moving because of family or because of jobs. They weren't mad at the church. It was just different circumstances. They had a lot of children. It gutted our children's church. I mean, we were really struggling. We had a problem with our worship leader. We had to let him go. Four more families left over that. We were going into the summertime, which typically is a low time for the church financially. And we didn't think we were going to be able to make it. We had missed six paychecks by this time. And I was at a point of desperation. I had planned to go with Randy, and I decided that, God, I'll go, but I need ministry on this trip. And if you can use me in ministering to other people, that's great, but I need a touch from you. And my prayer was that God would open my eyes to see in the realm of the Spirit, to see things from his perspective, because the way I saw my circumstances, it was not good. But I knew God had to have a purpose in it. He had to be seeing my circumstances from a different perspective than what I was seeing them. And so I prayed before I went to Brazil. I said, God, I'll go and I'll minister to others, but I need ministry. God, I pray that you would open my eyes to see things from your perspective, to see in the realm of the Spirit, to see the ministry of angels. And that was my heart's cry. And so I went with that desperate cry of my heart. And that was when everything changed in my life. So on this third trip to Brazil with Randy, we were sitting on the bus between two cities. And Randy was interviewing a worship leader who had had these major encounters with the Lord. He had been taken up into heaven. His eyes were open to see angels, and it became commonplace with him. And that was because that was the desire of my heart. When Randy got through talking with him, I tapped this worship leader on the shoulder, and I pointed at my eyes, and I said, that's what I want. Well, he didn't speak English, but he knew what I meant by that. He put his hand across the aisle of the bus and put it on my hand, and, you know, I really felt like something was happening, but I didn't know exactly what. As we stopped for lunch and getting off the bus, I gave him a big hug, and I just began to weep. My knees just buckled under the weight of the presence of God. And as we were walking into the restaurant, I asked Mike Shea, who is the head of this ministry in Brazil, if he had had experiences like the worship leader. And he said, well, just a little bit, but not as much as he's had. And I said, well, what can you tell me to help activate this in my life? And he said, Romans 6:13. And I said, Romans 6:13? What does that say? And he said, basically, it says, do not present the members of your body as instruments to sin and unrighteousness, but present the members of your body to God for righteousness and holiness. When he said that, I thought, you know, well, what does that have to do with what I was asking? And he said, well, a whole lot. He said, because when you think of the members of your body, think of your five senses, your eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and hands. Well, when he said that, I realized that our five senses are the entry and access points for all the worldly, fleshly, and demonic influences in our lives. But our five senses are also the entry and access points for the presence of God, for the Holy Spirit, and the power of God. And so that afternoon, when we got back to the hotel, I laid down on the bed, and I said, God, I want to do that right now. I want a divine exchange to happen. I want to give you my physical senses. And so I went through a prayer of giving my eyes to the Lord. And I said, God, I want to see things from your perspective. I want my eyes to be opened to see into the realm of the Spirit. And I said, God, I give you my ears, Lord, that I can begin to hear your voice clearly. I give you my mouth, Lord, because so many words that I say are not of you. God, I want to speak your words. And then I said, God, I give you my nose, that I can smell your fragrance, that I might smell your sweet presence. And God, I give you my hands, that they might be used in serving you. And I said, God, I surrender all. Everything I am, I give to you. Everything I have, I give to you. God, I'm desperate for more of you. Well, something dramatically changed in my life during that encounter with the Lord, as I was willing to give over my five senses to be used for His glory. That night we got into the meeting, and the presence of God was so strong. I had never experienced worship like that before in my life. And during that time of worship, as I was standing there with my hands raised to the Lord, God spoke to me, and He said, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. Well, my first reaction was, nah, you know, I don't want to do that, because I had on nice, clean socks. It was a dirty, dusty concrete floor. And I just ignored that, and I kept worshiping. But then God spoke again. And this time He said, take your shoes off. It was more of a serious voice. And I thought, oh, I think this is God. I think I better do it. And so I did. And thank God I did, because I honestly believe that what happened after that would not have happened if I hadn't taken my shoes off. You see, God often tests us in the small things before He will entrust greater things to us. And this was a test. And, you know, I failed a lot of tests in my life, but thank God I passed this test. I continued worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden, as I opened my eyes, I looked up on the platform, and I saw angels. In Brazil, they have oftentimes worship dancers that are dancing just a beautiful, worshipful dance before the Lord. And I saw these angels around these worshipers and around the worship team. And as a natural response, I just kind of looked up above, and I saw the area filled with angels. Some were dancing, they were singing, they were playing instruments. It was the most amazing sight I had ever seen in my life. And I thought, what in the world is going on? Am I just imagining this? Is this real? You know, God, can this be you? And as I was crying out to God, God, I just want more of you. I don't understand all of this. I just want more of you. All of a sudden, I felt myself getting bigger and taller. It was like I grew 15 feet tall. And I was looking down over the people, and I thought, whoa, this is really cool. And then I started to go up. Now, actually, what was happening, my spirit was leaving my body. My physical body was still standing there on the floor, but my spirit began to go up into the top of this tent. Now, the church met in a large tent that seated 3,000 people. And so in the top of the tent, I was looking down over the people, and all of a sudden, I got afraid. I started resisting what God was doing. And immediately, I started to come back down. And I thought, oh, no, man, I really blew it. I said, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Up is better. Up is better. And right when I said that, I reversed directions and went straight up, all the way through the top of the tent, way up into the sky. And I could see the city. I could see the top of the tent. It was just glowing with the presence of God. And it was like I had Zoom vision. I could see a hole opening up in the top of the tent. I could see people worshiping in there. And all of a sudden, that fear began to grip me again. Because, you know, I'm the type of person that likes to have everything in control. You know, I like to stay in my comfort zone. And I was way out of my comfort zone. I was way out of control. And it brought fear to me again. You see, the very things that I was longing for, I had a fear of, the supernatural and a fear of the unknown, because I had never experienced anything like this before. So I started to come back down, and I realized that God will take us as far as we're willing to go with Him. I was the one that put the brakes on. I was the one that, because of resistance and because of fear, kind of drew a line in the sand and said, God, you know, I'll get close to you, but this is close enough. And I came all the way back down just inside the tent. And again, I cried out to God, God, forgive me, because I knew I really messed up this time. Because I really wanted to go, I wanted to go to the throne room. I mean, I wanted to experience all God had, but I was afraid. And so I said, God, forgive me. And I raised my arms to the Lord, and it was like they went a mile up in the sky. I looked up, and at that moment, I saw Jesus coming down. And he was dressed in a white robe. He came down with his hands extended, and he grabbed me by the hands. And he held my hands real tight as if to say, I'm not going to let you go. Well, I was overwhelmed and overcome by his presence. I was right there face to face with him. My left hand began to burn. It was just a little spot in the beginning, but it grew till the whole palm of my hand was on fire. And I felt like, you know, I can't take this any longer. I felt like I was just going to explode. And at that moment, he let go of my hands and my spirit came back into my body. Now, my body was still standing there on the floor, just like it was when I left. But because of being in the presence of the Lord like that, my spirit was so full of his presence that when my spirit came into my body, I couldn't contain the presence and the glory of God that was resident in my spirit. And I was just like, I just did a swan dive backwards. I hit the chairs, they went flying. I hit the concrete floor. You know, nobody caught me, but it was like I landed on a bed of feathers. I didn't feel anything. And I was just crying out to God, God, I don't understand this. God, I just want more of you. And I felt so little and so insignificant in the presence of Almighty God. I was on the floor a long time before I could get up. When I finally could get up, I couldn't say anything. It was difficult to walk. All I could do was just cry. And it was that way for two or three days after that. The next day, I got to the meeting early, and I was sitting on the front row on the third chair over. And that worship leader came in, and he sat down in the first chair, and he reached his arm across that empty chair, and he put it on my shoulder. And right when he did, it was just like a bolt of lightning hit me. It's like the power of God surged through my body. And I fell in that chair between us just like a dead person. And the ministry team that was with us, they said I looked very uncomfortable, so they lifted me up and they put me on the floor. And while I was on the floor, again, I was crying out, God, I don't understand this. I don't understand what you're doing. By this time, the worship had started. I wanted to open my eyes and look to see what was happening. And as I opened my eyes, everything changed. I saw this gold pathway leading up to some gold steps, a gold platform, more gold steps, another gold platform. And on top of that, I saw a large throne. Now, I didn't see anybody sitting on the throne, but to the right hand of that throne, I saw Jesus standing there with a scepter in his hand.
My.
And I was in close proximity, like maybe 50 feet away. And the radiance and the glory and the brightness of him shining so brightly was penetrating me. It was like it was difficult for me to even look at. And I felt like I was going to die. In fact, you know, I thought, well, maybe I have died and gone to heaven because it was that real. Well, it ended immediately. I came back into my body. I was writhing in agony on the floor. I had the look of terror on my face. I was screaming, but no sound was coming out of my mouth. The people around me were really concerned, wondering, you know, what was going on with me. What they didn't realize was what I had just experienced, because I became so acutely aware of my sinfulness in the presence of a holy God that it brought terror to me. And that's why I had the look of terror on my face. I was screaming. I was just writhing in agony on the floor. And I was crying out, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. I just want more of you. I want more of you. I was on the floor again for probably a couple of hours. I couldn't get up. Finally, when I could, it was the same thing. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. All I could do was cry. Those were two of the first major encounters that I ever had like that. And they radically changed my life. And it hasn't stopped since that time.
Wow, what an experience. Could you pray for somebody that's listening today and they're saying, I want that, I want more? Could you do that?
I would love to. I just felt as I was saying that there are probably many people who have had real struggles in their lives, and they've been looking for answers in life, and they've not really found what they're looking for. And the answer is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not in religion. It's in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where we can receive forgiveness of sins, where we can become a brand new person in Christ Jesus. So I encourage you to just pray this prayer with me. As I pray it in your heart, just pray along with me. Just say, Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from those things that have kept me in bondage. God, I surrender my life to you today. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. I truly believe and accept the fact that you are the Son of God and that you were raised from the dead. And Father, I thank you for giving me new life, forgiving me of my sins. God, I want to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. My friend, he'll meet you today. Reach out today and he will meet you. If you would like to know more about Gary Oates and his ministry, you can find him on the net, and it's GaryOates.com. How simple. I thank you, Gary, for coming in today. Would you be interested in another program and picking up your story again?
Sure, I'd love to.
Oh, great. Okay, well, that's all for today. God bless.
Come and listen in to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on. Listen in to the boy line chorus, listen to the glad hosannas roll. Turn your radio on,
turn your radio on,
turn your radio on,
turn your radio on.
Get a little taste of joy awaiting, get a little heaven in your soul. Get in touch with God,
get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Thank you for tuning in to Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rome. Would you like to be part of this ministry, this radio ministry, and share these type of messages? I don't think these messages are heard anywhere else on secular radio, where we reach a new audience. So be a part. Our mailing address, Jim Rome, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Our mailing address again, Jim Rome, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. So, until we meet again, God bless you.